Welcome to another episode of Beyond the
Hour. Tell us, and this is what?
This is our time.
Our time. How you been? What's going on?
With our time today, I am drinking a lemon drop martini. You guys will recognize that this is my favorite cocktail.
Okay.
And I have been sitting around thinking about my life journey a little bit.
Okay.
And I'm just reflecting on where I've been, where I'm going, and just basically the different ways and times throughout my life that I've had to reinvent myself to either fill a need that I had at the moment.
Right.
Or most of the time, that's really what it was. I need this job. So I need to figure out how I'm going to get, going. Or later years, just doing what felt good for me and figuring out the changes that I needed to make in order to get there.
Okay.
And so I have been thinking about that and kind of patting myself on the back a little bit.
Right, right.
Because there's so many things that I've done, and I'm just kind of happy to be where I am right now, pursuing the things that I really want to do.
Right.
You know, how did you decide to go for your dream?
That's like a loaded question. So going way back, like to the first time I got on stage, I had family around me that like pushed me to get on stage. So obviously it's people around you that see like, okay, you have something. I found that something, it was wonderful. However, I'm in the midst of trying to like finish college and I'm getting my feet wet. Which, by the way, just to get into college was like a wing and a prayer. I'm not even gonna get started on how I was not the best, you know, getting in. It was, people helped me out. So getting into college now, now I realize I wanna do comedy too. So, you know, people looking at me like, here she go. Like, what now? You lucky you got into college, which is true. So now I'm like, I wanna do comedy. I know I wanna do acting. I wanna do some writing. Like my hand was in the arts. And I got on stage and then I realized like, okay, this is something I want to do. But after graduating, it was like, but I got to get my like shit together. Shit together meaning like you got to have your car, the roof over your head, you know, have some, be able to take care of yourself. And everybody talks about starving artists. I like to eat, all right? And I understand you're going to go through some hard times. However, I was like, how do I finagle this? Because I don't have peace of mind when certain things aren't in order. I'm not saying I need to be in a mansion right now, but guess what? Like, you still need certain things to be taken care of. I didn't have the luxury of, you know, just going back home to my parents and, you know, the trust fund that my dad left is going to be good. Nah, I had to really buck up when it came to being independent, right? So then that was the determining factor. Like, are you really going to go hard at this? Because right now they don't respect you. You come and go, you know, just as far as the comedy scene. And you have to really have it in yourself. And what are you there for? Because I've had comics who are veterans ask me like, what are you here for? Why are you here? What are you doing it for? And I always felt like they're mean. Like, that's not very nice.
Right. That's
a good question. You know, caused me to think, what am I doing it for? What do I ultimately want? Number one, I want respect. Number two, you know, I want to be funny and I want to be recognized. And I found that comedy was fun. Girl, I had fun. I was like, this is fun. I'm good at this. Like, this is a piece of me that I don't mind sharing. And with comedy comes, you know, many other talents that you have. You know, you're a writer, right? That comes with it too. So then, you know, I started writing skits and I got asked to do an independent film. And, you know, you start to realize that you have so many other things that you are talented in. And as long as you don't ignore it, that itch will get, should I say, pacified, you know, to that extent.
You made a very important point about ignoring the itch. I think that when you try to ignore that itch, you're setting yourself up for a miserable existence because it will nag at you. It will nag at you. You will regret it. And one of our guests, which that was Miss Madeline, we talked about
Yes.
dreams that die in your belly.
Yes. We
We
can.
can't have that.
No, you
No
have to.
dreams dying in the belly.
Don't let it. And I always remember when I was younger, I remember watching Married with Children, and I remember Al Bundy would sit on the couch with his football, and he always talked about who he could have been, shoulda, coulda, woulda, you know. And I just felt like, and he wasn't happy with his life, clearly. And as a young person, that sunk in me, and I was like, that's not what I want. That's just not what I want for myself. I want to be able to recognize my talent, see it as a dream, and run for it. And it takes a special type of person because some people do get settled in the survival mode. And I do believe you can survive and still chase dreams.
I feel like especially where I am at this phase in my life, most people that I know have given up already.
Yes.
They have these dreams, they've given up on them, and I just refuse. I just
Good.
refuse to
Good.
do that.
Uh-huh.
And so, I think your story is so inspiring. And we've got someone coming to have a cocktail with us today who has a re really inspiring story.
Okay.
She is someone who went through a variety of different things before landing on what she really wanted to do. And you know what that is? Sex coaching.
What?
Yes. So I am going to
Wow.
invite
Okay.
to join us today, Miss Renee Yvonne.
Yay, Renee.
Renee Yvonne is going to be joining us.
Hi,
Hey,
Renee.
Renee.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi, everyone. Hi, sex coach. How are you? I'm in the game.
Yes, sex
I'm in the game,
coaching.
coach. I got my
Thanks.
gym gear on. I'm in the game.
I see you're
Yes. I just shared with everyone that your story of transformation is one that I think will inspire people who are watching. And the different steps that you took and the different careers paths that you went through to finally get where you are right now, share that with us.
Sure. So I started out, I went to college and majored in chemistry. I minored in physics and math and was planning originally, I wanted to make makeup for Black women. That's what I really wanted to do because when I went to school, nothing matched my skin tone.
Okay.
When I came out, though, I didn't know where to go with that, I didn't know what to do with it. And so I started teaching high school chemistry and I did that for a few years. And then I went back into the lab. I realized I like kids, but I don't like teaching kids. That's not my calling. So I
Oh,
started, I went
honest.
back into the lab and I worked for a nuclear pharmacy for a couple of years, but I was exposed to too much radiation and they took me out of there and I worked in regulatory affairs and I went into actually, I lost my job at that place. That's what happened. The company closed. I lost my job. And that day, I went to Toastmasters for public speaking. I had joined them about 6 months prior. And I went to Toastmasters. I gave a speech about how I just lost my job. And someone in the audience hired me to be their marketing person for their pharmacy. So I was like, that sounds great. I don't know what that is. And so I started doing marketing for this pharmacy where I would go out to doctors and talk to them about these custom medications that he made. And I loved it. I was like, I can't believe he pays me to talk to people all day. I absolutely love this. The company that he bought his chemicals from to make these medications heard about me and they asked me to come down and speak at their marketing symposium. It was the first one they were ever doing. They told me that they had 30 people coming. And I said, okay. So they flew me down to Houston. They put me in a hotel. They had a driver come pick me up. I was like, wow, this is really nice.
Nice.
And I walked into the room and there were 120 people there. I was the only Black person in the entire room. And I was like, oh my God. So I spoke at that event. I said, well, I've got to do it. I'm here. So I spoke at the event. It went great. And they kept hiring me to come back down there and speak. And eventually that following year, they hired me to work for them. So I worked for them for 5 years. I traveled all over North America, which was an incredible experience from a Black girl that grew up in the hood in Southeast DC. I was like, I'm seeing, you know, the country. This is amazing. And in 2009, I lost my job, but I decided to keep doing that work on my own. So I started my own marketing business and I did that for 7 years. And the industry itself started to change. And I thought, I need to get out before it goes really bad. So I got rid of that business and I ended up, I'm not exactly sure how this happened, but I ended up in transportation in the biking world. I like to bike and I had started biking around and I had started this group just kind of for fun of Black women. It was mostly Black women. We would ride on the trails and stuff in DC. And this group had heard about me, this organization heard about me doing these rides, and they were wondering how I got all of these Black and brown people on these rides because they were having trouble doing it. So they ended up hiring me to do their events. So I've been in the transportation world for about 6 years now, doing biking, walking, transit, just getting people to consider getting out of their cars and transitioning or commuting in different ways. About 2 years ago, I had an offer to move to LA and to work in this transportation world. And I wasn't sure because I don't love LA, no offense, but I just don't. And so I was like, I just don't like the traffic. I'm just not feeling it. So I was really struggling with this. And I called one of my friends and I said, you know, I have this offer to go to LA to do this job. And she said, Renee, what do you really want to do? And without hesitation, I said, you know, I've always wanted to be a sex therapist, but I cannot go back to school. I'm sick of school right now. And she said, I'm sure there's a program out there where you can go and become a sex coach or a counselor or something where you don't have to go back to school. So she challenged me and I took her up on the challenge. I found a school called Sex Coach U and I went back and it was the perfect timing because at the moment I was in a relationship with somebody I cared for very deeply, but it was a sexless relationship. And I didn't know what was going on. I had been taking all of these different classes trying to figure out like, what's wrong with me? Why doesn't he ever want to be with me? And I found out after all of that, that what happened was he was on a medication that was causing low libido. He just wasn't interested. And so the issue was you have sex, but you have this personality just going all over the place, or you don't have sex and you have somebody whose mood is the same. And so that was a struggle. And I found out when I started to talk about it that a lot of other women were in very similar situations where they were with somebody they deeply cared for, but the sex was just non-existent. So when I finished with Sex Coach U, I realized that this was happening to a lot of people in their mid-40s, 50s, and 60s, and no one was talking about it. Every time I looked at a sex coach or therapist, they were talking about positions and blowjobs and all that stuff is great. But I'm like, there's a whole host of things going on with people in their 40s and 50s that no one is discussing. They're not talking about diabetes and health issues and just getting older. Like, things just don't work the same. I can't get in those positions. I don't want to. I'm tired, you know? And so I decided to be that person. And so that's how I got to become the Gen Sexologist. And I work mostly with Gen Xers and baby boomers, helping them to revive their sex life and reignite it into whatever it is they want it to be so that they are happy and having lots of orgasms.
Well, I want to thank you, first of all, for establishing that, yes, people in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s have sex. For those people who do not believe that they can have sex. So, you know, I want to thank you for that. And two, your story resonated with me so much, as I shared with you, because I've been in one of those sexless relationships. And it's very, 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 very dehumanizing, yes. It's demoralizing. It can impact your psychological well-being in ways that you would never even think it would.
Yeah.
Particularly if your partner does not communicate with you about these things, which I would say, and most of the people that I know that have experienced this, is the case with the men that they're in the relationships mm-hmm. with. The men are not communicating these issues and what they're related to. And then they're just kind of like questioning themselves and, mm-hmm. you know, turning that finger in on themselves and wondering if there is in fact something wrong with you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's food for thought. Food for thought. This is so interesting. And I'm listening to your whole journey. And I just want to commend you, number one, for staying in the fight. Because the one thing you did say a couple of times was, I lost that job, mm-hmm. but then I lost that job, but then I this. You're so flexible and you've been so transparent. And I guess the adversity that, you know, you basically stood in the face of it all, it didn't stop you. You continued to like bounce around. It was just like, boom, bounced up off, boom, bounced up off of it. Like, you know, so I'm hearing this and I'm like, number one, God's timing is everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, sometimes if you look back, I'm sure, like, were you prepared to be this sex therapist, you know, 20 years ago?
No.
I'm sure now with it all is just comes from another place, which is great, you know, and then having your girlfriend who told you, like, listen, this is what you got to do. And you said she challenged you.
She did.
So I think it's very important to pay attention to the company you carry, because for myself, I don't need people around me that are going to be mediocre. I need people that are going to be giving me what I need to get better in this life. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like that tough love that, you know, like,
yeah,
friend, whoever she is. Hey, sis, high five. Whoever
yeah, she's
is
a great, you know, friend.
That is a big deal. Like, that's good. And then I'm a firm believer in, like, God helps those who help themselves. Mm-hmm. So the one thing that I can say for you is you are not lazy.
No, I'm not.
You're a busy bee.
I'm a busy bee. My friends joke that they're like, so what are you going to do next, Renee? Because you reinvent yourself like every 5 to 6 years. I said, I don't know. I'll probably be a yoga instructor. I'll find something else to do at 60.
Right, but then she says, but I don't really like school. And then you got that friend to be like,
oh my goodness.
I have definitely thought about that. Like, what will I do next at 75?
I think about that too. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So what is the first thing that you do? What do you talk about?
Yeah.
When you okay, so I'm coming to you and I'm saying to you, Renee, I'm not getting no peen. Like, nothing happening in my relationship. You know, if I come to you and I say that, what are some of the first things that you talk to me about?
That's a great question. So when I work with mostly women, and then I work with couples. So I rarely see a guy alone. So this is a good question. So what mm-hmm. happens? When someone comes to me with that, I go through a little bit of history. So just to step back, I work as a sex coach and counselor, which is different than a sex therapist. In therapy, they tend to start where you are and go back and kind of talk through, like, how did you get here? Mm-hmm. And then there's some, you know, they will do some behavior change. But in coaching, we start here. And then we're trying to figure out, where do you want to be? So I don't do a whole lot of background mm-hmm. stuff, a little bit, but not a lot. So I like to see how you got here. Like, what's the situation? What have you tried already? What has and hasn't worked? So once you tell me that, then we start to talk about how can we have communication with that partner and get that out. Because sometimes that's what's happening, is that no one's talking about it, because we're in this society where people just, they want to have sex, but no one's talking about the kind of sex they want to have. And we're all just kind of assuming that this person should know what I want, and they should know what I want, and he should, you know, like, we're doing that instead of having that conversation of saying, this is what I need. So often what I'll do is I'll I'll give you a sheet. I love to work with couples though, because then you get both sides of the story. And sometimes you realize that these people are two different relationships. I've been there where I'm like, what relationship? Are you in a relationship with her? Like, this is not what she told me about you. You know, I've seen a lot of that. So what I like to do is to give them a sheet. It's called a yes, no, maybe fantasy list.
Ooh.
It lists all kinds of sexual activities on there. And you do it individually. So you check off the things that you are saying, like, yes, I would do that. No, I don't want to have any parts of that. I might consider doing that. And this is in the fantasy realm. And I tell some people, some things are fantasy and they probably should stay in the fantasy realm, and that's okay. And then your partner does the same. And then you come back together and you discuss it. So it's a way of talking about it without talking about it. So when you compare the list, you can see, like, oh, I didn't know that she was interested in this, or I didn't know he liked to do that,
Wow.
or I didn't know that was off the table completely. And now you kind of have something to work with without having to have a that deep discussion, like, look, we need to talk. This ain't working for me. And sometimes that's where it is. Sometimes people need to really have a conversation about going to see a medical professional. And if that's the case, I can help people find someone if that's what they need. But sometimes it really is that. It's not a sexual issue. It's really a medical. It may be depression, it could be stress, it could be a chronic illness that's going on. And they really need to take care of that before we can even deal with the sexual aspect of it. So I once I meet you and we kind of talk, that's what I'll suggest to people is, like, has your partner been checked out fully medically so that you know what you're working with? Because we can't really fix the sex if there's a medication that he hasn't told you about that he's taking that's causing this issue.
Oh, I have a question.
Yeah.
Now I know that you believe in confidentiality.
Yes.
What is, and we're not saying names, what is like one of the wildest coaching stories you have? You got a lot of them. Again, this is, just curious.
I have had, I think the wildest I had was, I had a couple that came to me individually, and one of the partners told me that they were polyamorous, but the other one never didn't mention anything about it. And I thought, do they
Now
know?
that's interesting.
Now wait,
Now
tell us
that's
what
interesting.
polyamorous is for some of our listeners that don't
So
know.
polyamorous just means many loves in just in plain English, but it's typically the what happens is it's called consensual non-monogamy. So what happens is the couple talks about it and they decide, I want you to be my main person, but I know that I know you're not gonna be my only person in life. And so they may have other people in their life that come in and out that they date or see, have sex with. They may not, it may be platonic, but they have other people that are in their lives. So I was very shocked because this couple they didn't both say that. And I thought that was interesting when I was working with them. And I was like, oh, okay.
Tell the other, like, by the way,
No, because they came individually. If they had come
right.
together, but they came individually, so I have to keep both
Both
confidence.
confidential.
Yeah.
That's
Oh,
juicy.
that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I know that's a challenge because then you're seeing there's a problem there, but you can't really talk
I
about
can't really talk about it.
it. You can't talk about it. Wow.
Yeah.
That's,
And the
yeah.
one partner told me that their partner knew. So they said that it was agreed upon. So I was like, okay, but the other person never mentioned it. And I just thought that was interesting. I was like,
We have so much we can talk about.
oh yeah,
And
there's
I
so
mean,
many
there's
things.
so many things that we can talk about for our blossoming women out there that can benefit them and benefit me. Shit.
Listen,
the party ain't over. You need to let these women know the party ain't over.
It's
It's
not
not
over.
over.
There's so many things out there that people can try. And one of the things I want to do in this work that I'm doing is to expand the definition of sex beyond just intercourse, penis and vagina intercourse, because I think so often people think, something is happening to me and therefore I can't have sex. I'm like, no, expand it beyond that. It could be mutual masturbation. It could be solo masturbation. It can be, adding toys in. It could be polyamorous. It could be, kissing, petting. Like, there's so many other ways to experience pleasure. And that's how I want people to view sex, is not just intercourse, but it's about receiving pleasure.
That is a perfect, that's the perfect note to
Uh-huh.
transition. into our divides. I hate to say it, but that was perfect. Wow. I mean, I've often felt like this and had this ideology, but it's one that my hand has been slapped for, you know, growing up. And I'm sure this is something you can relate to, Renee, you know, and you too, Shatara, you know, depending on our family situation, what is right and the proper way for ladies to behave and what sex is supposed to be for us, you know, there are all of these preconceived notions that are passed to us from our parents and from their parents. And when you think about it, for a lot of our older generation, there's a lot of trauma that's associated with sex and sexual activity. Yeah. So these are things that we got. And so I'm totally with, let's talk about different types of sex. So the next time you want, we're gonna talk about expanding that definition a little bit more.
Okay, I'm like, Joanna, what you want to talk about?
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about that polyamory. let's talk about that. I'm feeling like that may be me right there.
That's something, because I feel like people are polyamorous, but low key, it's just between, you know, it's like their secret. Because even if, let's say, you hypothetically cheat on your spouse, right? And you're seeing other people, making other people feel special, then if it's not polygamy you believe in, you know what I mean? Then you believe in a polyamorous situation, right? Like you found a way back home to home base, but you still, you know, rotate. Men and women do it. You get what I mean? That's the whole side piece, you know, term that people use.
Right.
But to me, I feel like, you know, if you're a man, let's just say, and you have, you know, different women you're taking care of and you got children or whatever, then yeah, you probably believe in polygamy, sir. Like it's a good chance, you know, and it's your secret. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
You young lady, you got a friend here at the job, you know, you got a husband, you got another little friend out of town. I'm telling on somebody, but anyway, then guess what? There's a good chance you're probably polyamorous. Like,
yeah.
And some people aren't open enough to say, you know what, this is the term, this is what it is. I do have a friend and she's very clear to tell, like, I'm polyamorous. And like, she wants to be upfront in her dating. Like, this is how it is. And when men are, you know, not with it, she's mad about it. She's like, no, because I'm giving you the, you know, the key to feel free.
Yeah.
I commend her.
I do too. I think a lot of people are polyamorous and don't think they should be because of society and what we've been taught and religion and whatever else you want to throw in there. And when we think about, like, I had a guy on my podcast a few months ago and he talked about how it works. And I mean, I think my co-host and I left like, yeah, we're going to do this. We're going one guy at a time thing anymore. This is ridiculous.
But
with the beauty of it to me, there were several things that I took away from it. One of it was the amount of communication that has to happen, where as in heterosexual relationships, there tends to just be, we went out on a date, we go together now, right? Like you could, like there's not like a whole lot of talking. But in polyamory, there seems to be a lot of discussion because you want to make sure that your partners are clear on what's happening. Like, I have a wife at home. We know that this is what we do. You need to be okay with that, or let's not do this. Like, just not get involved. And so there's a lot of communication there. And then the other thing I took away from his conversation was how it's sort of like you can have different people in your life for different reasons. And we do that everywhere else. But for some reason in marriage, we're like, you have to be my all and my everything. And so if this person doesn't, like, let's say, like, I like baseball. I was dating somebody recently that didn't. So that means I don't go to any baseball games. Why? Like, why can't I have somebody to go do these things with if my main partner doesn't want to? And I think because he broke it down like that, I was like, well, this is, yeah, I'm going to try this. I can do this.
I commend you, because I just feel like, and I'm a married woman. And I'm newly married also. And I got married.
Congrats.
Thank you. Since I got married older, I feel like it's a little different because I got set in my way of knowing what I want. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when it comes to the play around, like, oh, I'm good for the play around. Like, mess with me if you want. I'm good for the play around. However, I just had to know that, okay, I have to be very happy right here because that 80-20 rule is significant. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as long as that 80 is good, then like, we'll be okay. Like we check all the boxes. It's not going to be perfect. You know what I mean? Right. But I used to always say, and I say used to, and I use that broadly. If I was built like a man, and I feel like men lack emotion in areas where we have heavy emotion, mm-hmm. I would be promiscuous unapologetically if I was built like a man. Mm-hmm. If I were a boy, I'll sing the song. Yeah. Oh, what? Our emotions are somewhat, you know, and do you find that in coaching that like you see the difference where women, our emotions are in line? Tell me something.
I really haven't. I've been seeing women, I think the bulk of the women that have been coming to me are in relationships where they're just not, they're sexually frustrated. They're just in these relationships where they're just not having the sex that they want. Okay. And so we're talking a lot about either how do you get it from this partner or how do you get out of it and get it from someone else? And that's pretty much the routes we're taking. Like, you don't have to be in this and suffer. You can either, you know, have this conversation and get what you need from your partner, or we need to get out of this and figure out how you can get with someone else who can give you what you need and desire.
Okay. So now you're giving women the confidence to like take a jump.
Yeah, I want people to feel like, you know what, we don't have to stay in stuff just because we put time in. So yeah. Many people feel like, I put in 5 years. I'm like, okay, I heard Dr. Phil say this one time, the only thing worse than being there 5 years is being there 5 years and a day. So I'm like, why are we staying in this stuff if it's not working?
I'm with you. Yeah.
Yes.
That's where I'm at. Hey, I had arguing parents, you name it. So my attitude, I mean, I think that my first words were not gag, gag, goo, goo. I think my first words were, ain't nothing going on but the rent. No keep. That was the first word. That was it. And also, I'm not into keeping a man that don't want to be kept. That was the other words. And I don't have to be here. I want to be here.
Right.
And that has been the attitude I've had for like the longest. Like, oh, we unhappy? Like, oh, no. Listen, it was a good run.
Mm-hmm.
Carry on, go on. Carry you know, on. Like there's, like you said, no need for 5 years and a day. It's okay.
No reason for that. Unfortunately, I fell into that trap.
Okay.
Of the investment of time.
Yeah.
The investment of time, and it has to work because I invested this time. Mm-hmm. And although I was quite transparent about what I wanted in my relationship in the beginning, and this was something that was discussed and was agreed upon, somehow as time went on, it became a problem. It was no longer okay with the other party. And so a lot of it is confidence. I would say most of it is confidence. Most of it is saying, you know what, I'm tired of this shit. This is what I want to do. And mm-hmm. I need to go do what I need to do. And so anyone who is inspiring women to go out there and get what they deserve has a welcome mat waiting for them on the auntie hour.
Yes.
And a cocktail. Get it. That's right. And we want you here. And yeah. We are so happy that you joined us today. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
Woo, it was so nice to have you on. And I want to thank everyone for watching us. Chitara, you have any closing remarks?
In closing, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say thank you all for watching, listening, as always. And thank you, Renee, for coming out and being the dope sister that you are and shedding some light on all of us, because now people are walking away talking about, I'm polyamorous. Thank you. People go, I'm poly. I don't even know how to say it, but you know what I mean. Give me some trouble out in the street. Thanks to you, Renee.
Thank you.
Now I'm with it, by the way.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So this was a good time. Thank you. And I hope to see you again, because I got like, I have like 40 questions that I wrote down.
Well, please, yes, let's do it again. Yes. I'll try to answer at least 38 of
them. The 80-20 rule, boo. The 80-20.
80-20. 80-20.
You're still a keeper, basically.
Yes. Okay, and until next time, we'll see you next time on the Auntie Hour. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Ciao.
Bella.
I like how you waited to do that.